Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Hey, it's Christina from Overheard at Yoga. We have exciting news. Speak Studios has recently partnered with eBay about providing links in our episode descriptions to listeners for exclusive deals on select products. We have access to awesome deals, some up to 50% off, and we want to work together to get these deals out to listeners. This episode's link gives you up to 50% off on yoga workout products. So make sure to get those top shelf products discounted while you can. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Overheard at Yoga. I'm Christina and I'm thrilled to welcome you to the first episode of this podcast. I think I straight up giggled in the car all the way over driving to the recording studio. I am so stoked you're here. I'm Christina. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a teacher trainer and a studio manager. I've been teaching yoga and managing a yoga studio just under a decade and working as a teacher trainer for about half that time. And honestly, what I love about my job is the people, is the community that is yoga. I've also really enjoyed working with other passionate yogis. So at one time, I was managing two yoga studios and working with 25 plus yoga teachers. Some of my yoga friends have even joked that I'm a unicorn wrangler just trying to manage all the yoga teachers. So if you think about what is a unicorn is a mythical creature that's impossible to obtain. And yoga teachers can be like that. Suddenly, they will need to move to Hawaii. I think I've lost three teachers that had to move to Hawaii. Some need to go adventure in Costa Rica for a festival or a training. And typically, I hear a lot that the mountains are calling. So that's why they can't work on weekends. Anyway, you name it. And teachers are kind of hard to nail down. And I get it because I'm one of them. I think what I love about yogis, they're passionate. They're energetic, they're active, they just kind of do what they feel. And that's what really inspired this podcast, is working at a yoga studio, managing yoga teachers, and kind of being one of them, being like, how are we going to live this freestyle life and still maintain this sense of consistency in our schedule, in our work life? So I had a vision of this podcast for a long time because I love the vibe and the community of my home studio so much. And what really inspired me to bring this podcast to fruition, I would say, is when we had the lockdown. And it became pretty quickly apparent that I love and need my yoga community so much. And I wanted this podcast to feel like you're just chatting with your girlfriends after class. This podcast will be a glimpse into these conversations overheard at yoga. So ranging in topics from chakras, transformation, grief, and our personal yoga journeys. You can expect occasional guests, and I'm hoping you'll send in your own overheard at yoga stories. I'd love to share them. In this first episode, I'd like to share with you my personal journey to yoga and why you should never eat a burrito before going to Bikram. If I had to say the first time I heard about yoga, I was probably like a little girl, six. And anytime I'd go over to my grandma's house, she let me pick out a movie to watch. So my grandma is awesome, but she's also obsessed with Elvis Presley. And I'm not kidding. I'd go to her house and she'd have signed posters framed on the wall. She had a glass box with a porcelain dancing Elvis Presley doll inside that box with like lights on it and it would spin around. She had Elvis Presley stamps, Elvis Presley dolls, paraphernalia. She had all the movies, all the records, all the cassette tapes. And there was one specific movie that I really loved to watch. And it was a 1967 movie called Easy Come, Easy Go. And he does a song in this show called Yoga Is As Yoga Does. And the movie was about, I can barely remember, it was so long ago, but basically there's all these beatniks wearing turtlenecks, reading poetry. They're super cool. And I think Elvis Presley was in the military. So it has these two conflicting lifestyles and it portrayed these beatniks as these alternative, cool people. So, which I think at that time yoga really was kind of new and alternative. And that was my first picture of what is this yoga? Oh, it's something really cool and kind of different. And the next time I thought about yoga, I was in high school and I ditched class with my girlfriend. We go to her parents' house and she says, oh, my mom has this yoga DVD. Oh my gosh, let's do it. We'll be so cool. We'll feel so cool doing yoga. And no, it was like a workout DVD. This was not a meditation Rodney Yee DVD. This was like a hard, I don't know. We were in chair pose for 5 minutes and we looked at each other and we're like, this sucks. This is not cool. I don't feel like an alternative beatnik ready to read poetry. And then I think after that, we're like, let's go make French fries. And we ended up watching Bring It On instead. I never really thought about yoga again until my roommate, when I was 19 years old, dragged me to my first yoga class. And I mean, I was intrigued, like, let's try it. I'd only ever done chair pose once in my friend's living room. So we go to the downtown YMCA. And I'd grown up going to the YMCA. I'd gone to preschool here. I had Y-ball camps, summer camps. I learned how to swim at the YMCA. But as an adult, I'd never gone back there and taken a class. I show up, we go upstairs to the weight room, and then outside the activities room, there's just piles of shoes outside this activities room. So we're stepping over the piles of shoes, we go in there, and suddenly I'm transformed into another space. The lights are low, the mood music is mystical sounding. It was very interesting. So I think I borrowed my friend's yoga mat. I roll out this yoga mat and the teacher comes over and introduces himself. And he looks like, a Ken doll, honestly. He looked like, what's that guy's name? If you've seen the show Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, but like not the new one on Netflix, the old one. He looked like the blonde guy. So he looked like this great posture Ken doll, a little bit older. And he let me know I didn't need to wear socks for my yoga class, which I didn't know because I was new. Class started. And my overall feeling that I remember from this class is being really uncomfortable because the teacher kept coming over and giving me adjustments in the postures. And I felt like I couldn't do it right. Like everything I was doing was wrong. And I wanted to just show up to this class, get lost in class. And instead, I felt like every single pose, he's coming up to me and helping me in these postures. I'm sure now that I'm a teacher looking back on the other side, you want to help your students. But it was my first yoga class ever. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And I just felt defeated. I can't do this. I probably would never come back if it wasn't for the end of class. So we get to the end of class, and typically at the end of a yoga practice, you'll do an inversion posture. So the inversion posture he had us go into was shoulder stand. That's where you're on your back and you kick your legs up overhead. Hands will start at the hips, and you're working to create a straight line from hips above shoulders, knees above hips, toes above knees. Your hands are supporting you at the hips and you bring the elbows in closer. Start to walk your hands down towards your shoulders. You're looking up at your toes, this whole thing. And I had done this posture before, not knowing it was a yoga pose. just because when you're a kid, you would do like somersaults and handstands and round offs and cartwheels. And we would randomly do this pose too. So I felt like, oh, I've done this before, I can do this. So I pop into shoulder stand real quick and I see him. He's walking over to me to give me an adjustment. In my head, I'm like, God, really? Again? Like, come on, man. And as soon as he gets close enough and sees me in the full posture, he stops and he's like, oh, you did it, and walked away. And I had that moment in my head where I thought, yes, in your face, success, I did it. And it was half that feeling of like, ha, I did it, leave me alone, to the teacher. Like, I got this. And another half of me was like, I did something. I moved my body. I created a shape. I achieved it. I had that slight sense of success. And I think all of us, when we're in a yoga class and we achieve a posture or we get a nod from the teacher acknowledging what we've done, that's a really good feeling. So I had that good feeling come over me. And then the best feeling came at the very end of class. We go into final Shavasana, relaxation, and the lights are low, the mystical music comes back on. He had a singing bowl and he did the singing bowl sounds, which are these really cool vibrational bowls. And I felt so relaxed. I couldn't explain the feeling that I had. And I think that really triggered something in me. So I started going to yoga classes at my gym. At the time, I was going to Idaho Athletic Club, which is no longer. but I had this membership, and all I would do is go and ride the elliptical, ride the bike, get on the treadmill. I didn't know what I was doing. I would kind of wander around and look at machines and just felt so insecure, so out of place. I had no clue what I was doing. And there was the activities room upstairs. And one day I was leaving because I just didn't know what else to do at the gym. And they invited me into a yoga class. And I was like, oh, I've done this class at the Y. I know what yoga is. I can do this. So I go into the yoga class and it's awesome. My Wednesday night crew, we would just do a super chill stretching. It was really nice. I started going with my best friend. And one Wednesday, the teacher no-showed and we were all waiting in there, like maybe she's running late. Finally, someone from downstairs came in and said, hey, we got a call. She's not going to make it. Something with her car or traffic. We don't know. So we all just kind of sat around and we were already set up for yoga. And some of the students who I'd seen every week said, well, hey guys, we do this every week. We can do this. We can teach this class. So one by one, a few of the different students would stand up and teach a posture and be like, oh, I think we would do this. Oh, I think I remember this posture. And then they'd be like, I don't know what else. And so people would take turns teaching this class, which is so interesting now to me, because that's exactly how teacher training is. If you're in a yoga teacher training, we call it popcorn teaching, where just somebody comes up, teaches something, and then someone else comes up and teaches something. And I think experiencing this in such a no stress environment planted the seeds in me that I could be a yoga teacher. And it was totally subconscious, but I think experiencing that situation made it seem slightly more accessible. So fast forward a couple years later, I moved to Seattle. I kind of forgot about yoga when I moved to Seattle because I was so excited about big city. And I was going to school. I was working full time. I was working as an in-home private caregiver. And I also did end-of-life care. So I'd worked a little bit in hospice. And I was going to school at the community college in Seattle. And my end game, my goal was social work. So I had managed a group home for about 5 years. I'd done direct care for about 5 years. And I was really interested in social work and working with populations of people who need help. I really felt in my heart that that was what I wanted to do. And so while I'm in Seattle, I meet my boyfriend and he got me back into yoga. So we started going to Lululemon for their free yoga on the weekends. And we started going to different studios. And actually how I got into hot yoga. So I'm a hot yoga teacher. How I got into hot yoga is funny because I had heard about it from so many people one time I was on a ski trip. We went from Boise to McCall, which is a 2-hour ride. And I was basically trapped in the car with my boyfriend at the time and his friend brought a date. And for the whole 2-hour drive up to McCall, all she would talk about was hot yoga. And she was in the middle of doing a hot yoga challenge for 30 days. And that's why our ski trip had to be cut short, because she needed to be back the next day to go to her yoga class. And I remember thinking, she was a little nutty. And I don't think I would ever do that. It sounds terrible. And I remember her date, the boyfriend, was super annoyed that they had to come back because she had to do her hot yoga challenge. So that was my impression of hot yoga, that it's for crazy people and intense people. Not that she was crazy or intense or anything, but that was just kind of the vibe that was circulating it. And now looking back, I realized she was just really excited to take part in this challenge and achieve something. So now I'm in Seattle and my friends have been saying, you should try hot yoga for so long. And I'm always like, no, I'm not going to do it. So my girlfriend says, we're going to yoga. I'll come pick you up. It's this new studio. And I don't think anything of it. And we get there and it's a hot studio. She totally tricked me. And the guy at the desk, which this is my job now, like I manage a yoga studio. I greet people when they come in and you have this set series of questions that you say, and it's like, have you done yoga before? Have you done hot yoga before? And make sure that they're prepared to do this hot yoga class. And so I was thinking back to my yoga experience, which was super chill, like chill, relax, stretching, nice yoga, right? So I was like, yes, I've done yoga before. I didn't listen to anything he said. I was kind of sassy because my friend surprised me. But doing a Bikram class at Hotbox in Seattle on carpet, this is before they put in those nice new floors, I was so like shocked. My system was shocked. What am I experiencing? What is happening? This is just the most insane feeling. I sweat buckets. I'd never experienced that type of sweat before. When we left class, I'm in my leather jacket and a scarf, and I'm just like peeling it back off because steam is billowing off my body. We get into the car and the car starts to fog up. And the shavasana I experienced after hot yoga was 10 times the shavasana that I had experienced after another yoga class without the heat. I think the intensity was just amplified. So my boyfriend told me once when we would go to these yoga classes, he's like, you know, you could be a yoga teacher. And I was like, what? No, I couldn't do that. And I was kind of insecure and I didn't realize it at the time. I was going to all these different yoga studios, which is what I always recommend. If you're not sure where to do yoga, every yoga studio has an awesome intro special to get you in the door. Try all the intro specials in town. Find your yoga, find your crew, find the style that you like. There's so many different styles. So I was going to all these different studios, finding the style that I liked best. And I kept going for the shavasana because I love that feeling of peace. And it took me going to yoga and it took shavasana for me to realize that I was suffering from grief. I didn't realize it. So working in hospice, working in a group home, working with senior citizens, they would pass away. And that was normal. It was part of the job. And in 1 year's time, I had lost 5 clients. And these are clients that I had spent really close time with them in their homes, preparing meals, doing personal care, hygiene. I met their families. So you'd get really close to them and you'd learn all about their amazing lives and their children. And then they'd be gone. And you'd go to the funeral and you'd get your next client. I remember one client passed away. And I was so shocked. I didn't know how I felt. I didn't go to the funeral. And I regret it. And I feel bad because the company who had hired me told the family that I had to take another job. And that's why I was unable to attend the funeral. They covered me when really I was so sad and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I went to yoga and yoga woke me up to realize that I was dealing with grief. losing 5 clients in 1 year really took a toll on me emotionally. It was a lot of emotional work. So I was working full time. I would do like 3 days straight. I would stay the night at a client's home and I would just do 3 days straight, knock it out. The rest of the time I would be going to school full time, trying to work towards social work. And then I also partied a lot. I partied so hard. I had the time of my life in Seattle. You know, I'm young, I'm in my early 20s. And I kind of felt like that's what you did. Like you go out and explore the town, a lot of drinking and just not having a healthy lifestyle. I also realized that I wasn't as healthy as I thought I was because I felt like I look thin. Thin equates to healthy. I'm healthy. But when I started doing hot yoga, it became really apparent to me that I wasn't as healthy as I thought I was. I couldn't make it 15 minutes into a class without needing to take a break. So I'd go to class. As soon as we got to standing crescent moon, I'm spent. I'm exhausted. My heart's racing. I have to lay down. And that's when I started to realize maybe I should change some habits so that I can be stronger and not need to take a break in hot yoga. And one of the ways that I learned this lesson, I think when you start going to hot yoga, you start learning, oh shit, I drank too much wine last night because I really felt it in class, or I should go to sleep earlier because last time I went to yoga, I didn't sleep well and I was a wreck. So I signed up for a Bikram yoga class at Yoga for the People. And it was like in the afternoon, right after lunch. So I went to lunch at this Mexican restaurant and I had got this like big Chipotle seasoning chimichanga and it was delicious. And I was like, oh my God, it's so good. So I devoured this chimichanga and then went straight to hot yoga. Didn't think anything of it. I was like, yeah, I signed up for hot yoga. It's after lunch. Great. And as soon as I got in, like I said, I normally would make it 15 minutes and I'd get tired. I think I made it 5 minutes and realized I made a huge mistake. I laid down on the mat and Bikram classes, at least then, were serious and intense. They would have you write your name on a piece of paper and put it at your mat so they could call you out. And the teacher kept standing over my mat being like, Christina, come on, you can do this, get up. And like lying down on my mat, just being like, excuse me, no, I really can't. I had a chimichanga at lunch. I can't do this, I'm gonna throw up. And he kept like pestering me and I was like, I can't move. I have to stay here. My yoga mat was destroyed. My yoga towel was destroyed. I washed them really well. And then the next time I went to yoga, it reeked of the Chipotle seasoning that was in my chimichanga. So I learned that lesson pretty quickly. And I also learned a lot about my body image issues. There's these mirrors in the studio and I never really thought about the mirror. I would always be running late for class anyway, so I'd always get a spot in the back. But one day I got there early, I was stretching before class, and I caught something in the mirror, and I was like, oh, there's this beautiful woman in the mirror. And then I realized that beautiful woman was me, and I think that woke me up, that I'd never thought about myself that way. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm beautiful. And I always feel beautiful when I'm practicing yoga in front of the mirror. And that's not to say that I don't deal with those weird thoughts that happen sometimes, because I think as women, we are culturally conditioned to always be striving for this perfect sense of beauty, which is why the beauty industry is so insane. And I caught on to that when I was in my early 20s. I was so unconscious to that. And when I started to realize that I didn't actually think of myself as a beautiful person until I started going to yoga. And I actually was offended when people would comment that I was looking good, because I was going to hot yoga every day. I loved it. I was obsessed with that feeling. I felt like I was really dealing with my grief. I was starting to feel like I could like I would see myself in the mirror and I would acknowledge myself, and that acknowledgement was changing me. So when people would say, Christina, wow, you look good, you've lost weight, I was like, what? did I need to lose weight? It was so weird. I think I lost like 10, 15 pounds and I didn't even know that I needed to lose weight. I probably didn't, but that was just some of the side effects that happened from doing yoga. I ended up moving back to my hometown because my boyfriend and I just, we were having a hard time in Seattle. His work wasn't working out. He wanted to move back to Boise. We moved back. And so I quit my job. I dropped out of school. I just figured I would transfer my credits and start again. And after I moved back home, we broke up and I lost my mind. I think there was so much change at once. It triggered a lot of anxiety in me. And I had my first panic attack. I had my first panic attack driving on the freeway. And so now driving is a big issue for me. So after moving, breakup, quitting my job, dropping out of school, and just being in that scenario, I was really struggling. And I got my old job back, but the company that had originally owned the company, does that make sense, changed. So they didn't consider me an old hire. They considered me a new hire, and they didn't have like any positions that I was qualified for. So I had to take an entry level position, and I was being paid minimum wage back in my hometown, single. My family had moved out of state, so I didn't even have my family in town anymore. And I was crying every single day. I had serious depression. I was drinking a lot. I was partying a lot, and I was just miserable. I started going to yoga. I was like, I need help. I need to figure this out. So I started going to yoga again. And I drove through my neighborhood and I saw a sign outside of a building that said, yoga studio coming soon, teacher training starting soon. And I was like, that's it. That's what I need to do. I called the number, I wrote a check, and I signed up for yoga teacher training. I had no money, so I was like, I've got nothing to lose. And originally I had felt insecure and like, I could never teach yoga. And even though I had that breakup, we still loved each other. We were still friends. And I really credit him for inspiring me to take that step. And it's so funny to me now because at the time, I really didn't feel like I had a voice. Even when I took teacher training, you learn so much about public speaking. And I was horrified to speak publicly. When we would practice teaching, I would always skip my turn. And now I'm a teacher trainer and I lead the public speaking portion of our teacher training. So yoga truly changed my life. And that's how I ended up here. I would like to wrap up this session just by saying how grateful I am for yoga, for the community that I have found. And I'm pretty stoked to now have this podcast to bring community together. If you ever need an intention, it should always be gratitude. If you can never think of an intention for your yoga practice, always bring it back to gratitude. I would like to also invite you to listen to next time, because I will bring on a guest, so I won't just be talking about me the whole time. I do not intend for this podcast to be the Christina show. I want it to be about you. I want it to be about what we love about our yoga community. So tune in next time. I'm bringing on a guest. And if you would like to share with me your yoga journey, please find me on Instagram at overheard@.yoga or email me at xtinayoga@gmail.com. Welcome to the Treasure Valley and Boise, the city of trees. As one of the fastest growing areas in the entire nation, finding the right home is only as important as finding the right realtor. And who better in the Treasure Valley than Regina Collins, realtor. Licensed in both Idaho and California and self-employed since 1999, Regina Collins prides herself on a strong business and marketing background. With years of experience owning and operating full-staff businesses, Regina Collins is ready to work for you. Specializing in relocation, veterans and military families, listings, buyers, commercial, new homes, contingencies, and solar, Regina Collins is able to offer the whole package for her buyers. Whether you are new to Boise, want a better lifestyle for you and your family, or just want to get to know this area better, Regina Collins is honored to help you with this process. For more, visit reginaforhomes.com. This podcast is brought to you by Make Waves Media House. Make Waves Media House is a full-service video production company based out of Spokane, Washington, but does work all over the U.S. Specializing in music video production, editing, director of photography services, motion graphics, and commercial work. With 20 years of experience behind the camera and celebrating 7 years of business, Make Waves is here to create your high-quality videos at affordable prices. You can find them on Facebook now at Make Waves Media House, on Instagram at make.waves.mh, or call them now at 509-991-3000. Need help growing your business? It's what you don't know that will cost you. Tulu Peer Advisory Groups is here for every stage of business growth. Find out more at talloo.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your Overheard at Yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.